it is well with my soul. I want to just share with you that if you notice from the announcements that we do have new Wi-Fi here in our church, so we thank our trustees for that, and now you're going to have a new login. It is under the guest, CRBC guest, and you will need to log in as a guest, and I think I put it up there and I forgot what it was, so you're going to have to read the announcement when it comes back. But I think it's CRBC guest and then pound sign. Amen. All right, before we begin our service today, we do have a Black History Moment, and Tyrese Slaughter is going to come and present that, and I'm going to try to pull this up here for you, Tyrese. So talk real slow, and I'll get it up. Here we go. There you go, sir.
Good morning, Crossroad.
Good morning.
Question: who is appreciative of the elevator? Well, we have an African American to thank for the automatic elevator doors. Mr. Alexander Miles is his name. Born near Circleville, Ohio, to Michael Miles and Mary Pompey, Alexander Miles is the 19th century African American inventor known best for patenting his design for improving the automatically opening and closing elevator doors. The patent was issued on October 11, 1887. Miles moved to Winona, Minnesota in 1870, and there met his future wife, Candace J. Dunlap, from New York City, New York. In 1879, Miles relocated his family to Duluth, Minnesota, shortly after the birth of their daughter, Grace. Before moving to Winona, Minnesota, Alexander Miles began exploring his passion for inventing, first by creating hair care products while working as a barber in Wisconsin. After Miles and his family settled in Duluth, Minnesota, he began operating a barbershop in the fourth story St. Louis Hotel. Shortly after, he began developing his concept to improve the function of the elevator door. Miles became concerned with the dangerous risk associated with elevators once he noticed the shaft door left open during a ride with his young daughter. Due to people forgetting to close the shaft doors before utilizing the elevator, there were many reported incidents of people falling into the shafts. Miles' innovation made electric-powered elevator doors widely accepted around the whole world. Today, the influence of his patent is present in modern designs for elevator systems in which automatic doors are a standard feature. Partly because of the success of his invention, Miles was known to be the wealthiest African American in the Pacific Northwest region by the time of his death on May 7, 1918. In 2007, he was inducted into the National Inventors Hall of Fame. Crossroad, help me give a praise to God for our Black History Maker, Mr. Alexander Miles.
Amen. Thank you, Tyrese. Certainly, we have a lot to be grateful for. And I don't know whether, how many of y'all watch the History Channel? History Channel is going to have a documentary on some World War I soldiers. And they're Black soldiers. They were called the Harlem Hellfighters. But I think you're going to get a lot out of that because there's a lot of history, for whatever reason, is not included. That's why we have these Black History Moments at the church, so we can appreciate and be inspired. Also, Dr. Henry Louis Gates has a documentary on the Black church. That's going to be on public television. You may have already watched it, some of you, but if you get a chance, watch that. I think it'd be very inspirational for every one of us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Y'all ready for the message?
Amen.
Amen. We got one for you today. Probably not what you expect, but it's going to be all right. Amen?
Amen.
Look at somebody, tell them he got what he wanted, but he lost what he had. Amen. You probably wonder, who am I talking about? Well, turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And And we're still focusing on the fact that the church has been called to action, but without the guidance and leadership of the Holy Spirit, we cannot act. There is no way that we can produce anything on our own. It requires the power of God. But when you think about the power of God moving in our life, there may be some things that we could be holding on to that God is not pleased with. With that, let us read Acts chapter 1, 15 through 17, and then verse 20 and verse 26. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, "Brothers and sisters, the scripture had to be fulfilled in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through David concerning Judas, who served as a guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in our ministry. For Peter said, 'It is written in the book of Psalms, may his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it, and may another take his place of leadership.' Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias, so he was added to the 11 apostles." Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. I want to just share some thoughts with you today about the Judas issue, the Judas issue. Who was Judas, and why is he being brought up today, and why are we looking at some things that perhaps we might be interested in? That's a good question. We're going to try to answer those as we get through this message. Let us pray. God, we thank you again for your amazing grace. Lead us now. Help us, Father, to bring out the things that you reveal to my heart. And God, may it speak to our hearts and change us. And Lord, that we would indeed be changed for the good. We love you and we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. For starters, let me ask a question. How many of y'all are glad you're saved? Amen. No, you didn't. No. Wait a minute. You didn't get what I'm saying. How many of you are glad to be saved? Amen. All right. When we say that, we want people to be excited because you're not where you were. Your life has dramatically changed. And it's nothing but the power of God that moved in our lives and brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We've all heard the saying, "But for the grace of God, there go I." But for God's grace, it could have been any of us. Any of us. And so we look at these apostles, we see them as they've just witnessed Jesus being caught up to heaven. They've just witnessed that. And they were sent back to Jerusalem, and you know how that they are waiting now for the arrival of the Holy Spirit. They want God to move in their lives, but there are some issues that they've got to deal with. The question comes up, what are we going to do about Judas? He had a place among our ministry. He was one of us. Now that speaks volumes, because it says that we acknowledge every one of us came short. All of those disciples who were in the upper room, the apostles, and all of them had abandoned Jesus. One of them had denied him, but one betrayed him. How did Judas get to that place? Let me ask a closer question, give you a close shave for those that shave. How do you get out of some of the traps that the devil sets for you? How do you get beyond those hang-ups and things that maybe could bring you down? And I will tell you what, if you don't deal with them, they're going to come up again. You can't hide certain things. Give you a little bit about this. A lot of us, we love to read the good passages in the Bible. And I was just about to skip over this one concerning Judas, and the Holy Spirit kind of moved upon my heart, said, oh, no. That's there for a reason. People cannot move beyond their hang-ups until they know that deep down on the inside, every one of us is evil as we want to be. Amen. All you're waiting on is just a good circumstance and an outlet to let it happen. Yes. Are y'all real? Yes. Are y'all in the building? Yes. And so it gives us reason to pause and say, wait a minute. How do I deal with Judas? How do I deal with my nature, knowing who I am? You know, Judas hid for a long time who he really was. This guy had, he had a lot going for him. If you looked at him, you'd say, man, what an outstanding individual he is. And yet something very corrupt was going on in his life. I don't know about you, but I probably have lived more years than in my past than I'm looking forward to in my future. And if I don't get right now and stay right with the Lord, I'm going to be in bad shape. How about you? And one thing I want to is to see Jesus and to see his face in peace. Is that anyone in here? I want to know that I know that God is with me. Now, don't get me wrong. I know I'm saved. Amen. But I also know that it was grace that brought me saved this far. Amen. And grace going to lead me on. Amen. So let's look at some things in Judas' life and try to determine who he was, what he did, and why, what led him to make those decisions in his life. I don't think it's by mistake that the Bible says he was one of what we might call the revolters or people that didn't love Rome. He had it out to get even with Rome. That could have been part of the motivation in his life. The other thing about Judas, he loved money. Don't raise your hand. I think the OJs was right. I know y'all sanctified. Instead of do things bad to you. But you got to understand what motivates you. If it is not the Lord, if it's not God, sooner or later, it's going to send you down that wrong path. Sooner or later, you're going to be regretting, man, why in the world did I do that? But Judas was chosen by Jesus. Chosen. His name meant, it was in the Greek formation of the word, but his name meant praise. It was kind of like Judah, but under the Greek culture, as they were, they called him Judas, which still meant praise, which meant his life should have been one that reflected praise to God. And he did good for a while. He was in the inner circle. This was not one of the 70. This was one of the original 12, which meant he had an important position. This man, if you looked at him, unlike Peter, when he said something, it was with a lot of influence. He was effective as an apostle. When you go back and read the Gospels, Judas was working miracles just like the other apostles. Signs and wonders, casting out demons, preaching the kingdom of God. This guy had it going on. You know, as I look at some of the things that have happened in ministry with those that have taken on the calling of ministry, and some of them, for whatever reason, you read about scandal after scandal after scandal. And I know some of y'all waiting. It's going to happen here at Crossroads. Yes, sooner or later, we're going to find out something about Reverend Coleman. I know you're waiting on it. 45 years. If you ain't seen it yet, I doubt if you're going to see it now. But it is nothing that you and I can boast about. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. When I think about Judas, at some point, he got to the place where he felt that he knew a little bit more than Jesus. How in the world are you going to get to the place where you don't value your Lord and you count him as 30 pieces of silver? I'm going to get to that in a minute because I don't know how you sell a Savior. I preached a sermon on that one time. How do you sell a Savior? Very one that's going to save your soul. You got the gold. He got the silver, as it says. But what did he give up in exchange? Yeah, he got what he wanted. But he lost what he had. He was very effective, very effective. He was shrewd. This guy was sharp. He was the treasurer for Jesus' ministry. You didn't know that, did you? You're probably wondering, well, wait a minute, hold up. You mean Jesus picked this guy to be an apostle? Now, he didn't have Jesus fooled. He didn't have him bamboozled. The Bible said that he knew he was a thief from the beginning. And sometimes I get back and I wonder to myself, I wonder, Reverend Ray, why in the world would Jesus pick him if he knew he was going to fail? But then sometimes when I look in the mirror, I have to ask myself, Miss Cabler, why in the world did he pick me? And if you're real with yourself, you'd be asking that same question. I didn't have anything to offer God. As the hymn writer said, nothing in my hands I bring, but simply to the cross I cling. Amen. When Mary came in to anoint Jesus before his burial, Judas spoke up. Wait a minute. Why are you wasting all that good perfume? I don't know what it was, Chanel number 5 or number 6 or whatever it was, but it was costly. Immediately, Judas knew how much it could bring in the marketplace. This guy was, he said it could have been sold, and we could have got 300 pence, and then we could have given that to the poor. And I estimated the value of it somewhere probably around, how many of y'all wear $300 perfume? Just as I thought, you probably stick with the stuff that don't cost too much. Yeah. Some of y'all guys like me, you stick with the Old Spice. And then some of y'all ladies, you probably say, I'm going to just get the knockoff brand, you know. I'm not going to get the real stuff and try to deal with that. Judas was shrewd. He knew money, he knew marketing, but he was also a radical. Somewhere deep in his veins, he said to himself, Jesus really needs to be in a place where he can overthrow the Roman government. And I know just the way to do it. This guy could work a deal. He didn't come to the leaders and the scribes and the Pharisees. He didn't come to the Sanhedrin court. They didn't come to him. He went to them. His question was, what will you give me if I give you Jesus? What can you do for me if I sell you Jesus? I want to preach another message right there. He's not for sale. And I pray that in your life, he's not for sale. You don't need to put a sign on there. You don't need the devil coming up to you saying, now, what would you give Jesus away for? He says, you're not for sale. Amen. But Judas sold him for 30 pieces of silver. One of the Old Testament readings on that said, a handsome price for one so valued. Judas was shrewd. He was chosen. He was effective. But he also betrayed the Lord. That's probably where you put on the brakes and say, gotcha, preacher. I'd never do that. My question to you, Are you sure? Look at how it reads when they were in the upper room. They didn't conduct a "let's bash Judas." They stated the facts, and they got the scripture to back it up. Peter said, "Well, you know it's written of him." Interesting that Peter would speak up, because he's the one that denied him, right? He's also looking at himself, and he said, "You know what? Let's look at Judas. Let's go over the facts. Let's deal with how we might replace him, but we're not going to bash Judas." I want to warn some of you, because y'all love to talk. And you love, you know, now you can say it without verbalizing. You can put it in the text. "You hear about what happened to so-and-so? Child, I never thought they'd do something like that." They didn't bash Judas. They said he's gone to his place. Scripture wrote about him. The word of God said that this would happen. And the place that he tried to purchase with the money that he got for selling the Savior, let it be desolate. You know that that same field called Adeldama, that they actually named it that place because of the fact that it was going to bury the dead. Graveyard. Nobody built a house on it. Nobody lived on it. Nobody pitched a tent on it. It was worthless. So it is with every life that sells out on God. You become worthless because you sell the most valuable thing that you have. Now let me reel you in. Let me reel you in. Some of y'all probably feeling like, "Man, preacher, I came in feeling bad about what I did last night. I didn't mean to play the lottery, but you know, I just got this itch, and I just, you know, had to start scratching." I'm not talking about coming short. I'm talking about absolute betrayal. How could that happen? Several things that I believe play a key role in our life that we need to think about. And I know it went across their minds in that upper room as they stood there. And as they gathered together, about 120 had gathered together, men and women that loved Jesus, spent time with him, said, "You know what, we're going to wait on God. We're going to wait for him to move upon our lives with power. But while we're waiting, we're going to examine ourselves. We're going to look at who we really are. We got to replace Judas, but also we got to search our own self, whether we be in the faith." One of the things that happened to them, whenever you get to the place where you don't recognize that you could betray him, you're now at a position where you're saying to yourself, "I got this." It's called self-confidence. The world promotes that. But do you not know that your confidence needs to be in the power and the strength that God gives you? You can do no more than what God provides for you. How about that? Is that a good point? Judas betrayed him because he felt like, "You know, I'm a radical, I'm a zealot. I don't like the Romans. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to sell Jesus, and just like all the other times, he's going to escape and everything going to be good. I'm going to have some money. He's going to have the kingdom. Everything going to be fine." Right? "I'm just going in here just to do it a little bit. I'm not going to really get drunk. I'm just going to drink." And somewhere between those sips, you lose the count. Next thing you know, "I said I wasn't going to tell nobody." I bring that up because you ain't the only one that gets tempted, all right? You know, you done had a frustrating week. And people done got on your nerves. Passed by the ABC store and looked like the man waving at you. Touch somebody and say, "I know, I've been there. It is interesting how Peter addresses this issue. He said, brothers and sisters, the scripture has to be fulfilled. The scripture. The word of God has to be fulfilled. That this was going to happen to Judas. Did you not know that somewhere in the Bible, you and I are included? And you can't pick the verses. It's going to happen. Either you engage in the process of saying, Lord, help me to live in your will. Help me to serve as I ought to serve. As a matter of fact, I believe that if you get right down to it and rely on God, do you know that he will lead you and guide you with his eye? Where we get off track as a Christian, as a believer, is when we start thinking to ourselves, if I do this for Jesus, he's going to do this for me. Look at somebody, tell them, uh-oh, you headed down that wrong road now. You got the signal on, and you headed down that wrong road. Never, ever, ever, never, ever serve God as if he's going to repay you in some way. Here's the reason why. You would much rather have God's grace than to say, I earned it. Let me say that again. You would much rather have God's grace than for you to get back and say, I earned it. You know why? Because grace is so abundant. Grace is so rich. Grace is so good that once you got that, you would say to yourself, I never could have got it on my own. How many of you would be willing to be real today and tell yourself, I never would have made it if it had not been for the Lord? How many of y'all can testify I've been knocked down, thought I wasn't going to get up, but then the grace of God brought me out of my trouble? Any real folk in here? Anybody know that it's the goodness of God? Amen. It's not what we do. It's not how we stand, but it's the grace and mercy that he had on us. Early this morning, God woke me up, started me on my way. And I'm so glad that love lifted me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Can I preach? Yeah. When nothing else could help. God's love. God's love. Not my own works. God's love. Watched over me all night long. Oh, I'm so glad to be here in Jesus' name. You ask me, Reverend? Some of y'all say, Pastor? Could you betray Jesus? And I'm going to tell you, I don't know, but there's one thing I do know, that when God gets a hold of you, amen, the things that you would do, you can't do. Let me just put it graphically. I remember when my brothers and sisters and I hope they're watching on this thing. My brothers and sisters and I, you know, my grandma called it getting far. Y'all remember that? When you would get ready to do something you ain't had no business doing, my mama would snatch a knot. She would grab you by, Miss Cap, she would grab you by the collar and pull you back. Do I have any real folk in here? How many of y'all ever got to the edge of what you were about to do, but then God got a hold of you? Oh, I like that verse says, something got a hold of me. It was the Lord. It was God keeping you out of trouble. He knew where you were headed. He knew what you were getting ready to do. He knew what was on your nasty mind. But then the Holy Ghost came in, turned you around. Oh, won't he do it? I can boast in God. I can boast by telling you I know that the Lord is good. Amen. I can boast to tell you that he's been good thus far. He's kept me every step of the way. Even when I stumble, the Lord was there to hold on to me. Amen. You have a lot to be thankful for. Amen. If you haven't been to the jailhouse, if you haven't been out in the places where, if you haven't been in a drug joint and beating your head against the wall, it's only the grace of God that kept you from going there. If you have been to those places, but you're now turned around, then you got a whole lot to thank God for. You got a whole lot to give him praise for, because he brought you from a mighty long way. That's why I like real folk. I like folk that been through the mud of life. They don't throw mud because they've been in the mud. Well, the Lord has been good to them. The disciples and the apostles and the church, the early church, 120 in number, had to get past betrayal. They did not sit in the upper room talking about one another. Well, I don't like Peter. I don't like this one, and I don't like that one. They said, let's deal with the Judas issue. Every one of us walked away from him that night. All of us could have betrayed him. But since Judas was the one that did it, let's get a replacement and let's move on. You wonder why I always try to think about tomorrow rather than yesterday. Wonder why that. There's not a thing you can do about yesterday. Some of you all, when you walked in the building this morning, you brought your past into the church. And then if you weren't careful, the way certain folk looked at you, you thought, well, they know my past. Your past doesn't matter now. This is today. Reverend Ray said, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Recognize the betrayal. They said, okay, we got to do something about this. We got to make sure that we're covering this position because it's got to be occupied. It's got to be occupied. Second thing, I got to move on. Got to move on. They relied on prayer. Your key to being effective with God is that you've got to know how to pray. All right? You got to know how to really call on God. So they asked, they said, Lord, we're getting ready to make a decision, and we need your guidance. Show us which one of these that we've gotten dealt with. Show us, Lord, which one should take this office that Judas held. Now, here's how you pray over your situation. It's twofold. If you've got a memory from your past that's keeping you from your future, what you ought to pray is, in the name of Jesus, I bind this spirit. I bind it in the name of Jesus, because I can't get to where he wants me to go if I'm always worried about where I've been. Anybody real in here today? You cannot allow the devil or anybody else that the devil uses to keep throwing up in your face where, remember, you used to be. And because of who you were, you ain't gonna never be nothing. You ought to stand up and tell them, you don't know who you're talking about. I'm a child of God. Yes, I messed up. Yes, I come short of the glory of God. But guess what? He had mercy on me. And because he had mercy on me, he can still use me. I still got a heartbeat. I still got air flowing in out of my lungs. I know I am somebody. I can still stand up. I can still be counted. And guess what? I'm going to pray, and God's going to help me get it right. Any of y'all know the worth of prayer? Anybody know the true worth of prayer? Prayer is not to change your circumstance, it's to change you. I can face the circumstance if I just had some power. If I just had some willingness in my heart. If I just had some determination, as the old folks say, I'm going to run on and see what the end going to bring. You cannot allow those things to keep you. But here's the other thing. When you pray, don't just pray about where you've been. And getting past that, pray about where you're going. Pray that God would direct you. We're into the year 2024. Some of y'all still living back in 2019. Can I go a little bit further? Some of y'all at that place of your last mistake, I just can't get over this. Get over it. Start praying about your future. Start asking God some questions. Lord, what can you do with me if I surrendered everything to you? That's a dangerous question. But that's what they were praying. Now, look at what's happening with them. The same people that killed Jesus is still out there. But in that upper room, God is dealing with them. He's cleaning them, cleansing them through prayer, so that when they come out of the upper room, they're going to be bold witnesses for God. As I prepare to close this message, some of you probably say, Pastor, I don't know. I don't know whether I would do all that Judas did. Let me just share. That was according to the scripture. But admit to yourself, you're doing what you are doing. Which reminds us a couple of things about Judas. One, his love for money got above his love for God. His love for money. What's driving our generation? Money. We love to have it, and I'm not ignorant now. Don't get me wrong. You know, you like the things that money can buy, and you can try having none. But do you not know where your blessing comes from? Do you not know that God can take your little bit that you've got and stretch it further than what you even imagined? Oh, yeah. He's still, Miss Maddie, I remember where my wife and I came from, and I realized that there were some times that we were down. I looked at my bills, and then I looked at my income, and I said, ain't no way. But guess what? When I prayed and I sought God, every bill was paid on time, and I had a little bit left over. I said, I don't know how. I don't know. I'm a good mathematician. I don't know how this adding up, but God can make a way out of no way. Never allow your love for money to have predominance over your love for God. Love God. If you don't have two nickels in your pocket to rub together and make a dime, as the old folks say, just be glad you got what you have. God can take nothing and do something with it. Second thing, as we pause and reflect on this thing, be careful what you give up in the spirit. Be careful what you give up. Judas was a shrewd man. He should have thought within himself, what am I giving up? Now, in the year 2024, you're going to give up some things. Make sure that they are the right things for the right reason. Self-promotion, just to say, hey, you know what? I got my name in lights and all of that. That don't mean it's good. A lot of people have sold out to be famous, sold out to have the things of this world, and they got very little in return because they didn't rely on God. Pray over it. Pray and ask God for direction. Lord, should I do this? I don't know what it is. Maybe it's me getting older, and I'm not as secure as I used to think. You know, before, when I was 25, I knew everything. And Malcolm, look like where I am now. I don't know nothing. It's like everything I do, I got to pray over and ask God, Lord, what can I do about this? And then somewhere, in those quiet moments, God will answer you. He'll give you a scripture. And then he'll tell you, he don't have to say it, but he'll tell you, everything's going to be all right. How many of y'all ever had God to do that? He just whispered to you, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. And I can tell you that, you know, when a pain hits you, y'all, some of y'all are young folks. Let me see the young folks. Raise your hand if you're less than 50. Okay, I got some young folks over there. Young folk, y'all don't know a thing. But look like to me, now, old folk in here, old folk, can I talk to y'all? Look like to me when a pain hits you about 3 o'clock in the morning, the devil will get on your mind and, you're going to die tomorrow. Pain hits you in the back, and by the way, the pain moves from place to place. Pain hits you in the back, the devil tell you, you ain't going to walk in the morning. Come on now, y'all know I'm real. But you will have some of your best prayers early in the morning.
Amen.
Talking with God.
Amen.
Sometimes you be crying and he be telling you it's going to be all right.
Amen.
You just wait until the morning. Because you know why? He's already working.
Yes.
He already knows what you need, and God has already prepared everything that you need to supply you with grace enough to make it through another day. Can I get a witness? I'm about to close. The clock done stopped. That's what messed me up. I'm preaching overtime now. Yeah, so I'm going to keep preaching. Y'all online, y'all hang in there. We're going to be done in a few minutes. All right. But replacing Judas is necessary. And with that, I want to add to you that Judas is not necessarily a person. It can be a perception. It can be a perception that you have that's limiting you from doing what God wants you to do. Well, I can't do this because I failed the last time. The only thing that beats a failure is getting back up one more time.
Amen.
Let me see the hands of some of you that have fallen.
Amen.
Now let me see the hands of you that know what it means to get back up.
Amen.
And the fact that you can get back up means that God has energized you. It means that God has wiped the slate clean. It means that nothing in your past, absolutely nothing that is covered by the blood, will ever haunt you on tomorrow. I'm so glad that I'm dealing with my Judas, because I want to be what I can be for my Savior. He's worth it. Amen. So here's a couple closing points as we close and dealing with our Judas. Admit it happened. Don't try to lie. Don't try to hide it. Don't try to say, nah, it wasn't me. Didn't I see you at the club last night? Nah, that wasn't me. Go on, admit it. Go on, admit it. Go on, say it. James 5 and verse 16, it reminds us that as we confess our faults one to another and pray one for another, we'll be healed. Right now in this room, there's some people being healed because you've had a lot of bad stuff to happen in your life by church folk.
Amen.
Wasn't the enemy that did it.
Amen.
Can I just say to you that what they did to Jesus, that was church folk.
Amen.
They didn't nail him to the cross, but they were right there around the cross. Church, the priest, the leaders. If you be the Son of God, come down. And Jesus said, I could, but I couldn't save you if I did. Y'all didn't catch that. Mercy, grace kept him on that cross. Love kept him on that cross. It wasn't the nail that had him pinned. It was the love that he had for us and the love that he had for the world that kept him on that cross. He could have come down. But if I come down, every one of us would be lost. But thank God I'm saved today because he stayed right there. Thank God for grace. So admit it happened. Second thing, pray for God's direction. Every Sunday we have an opportunity not just to pray individually, but to pray collectively as a group, praying for one another. I make a deal with you. Why are we praying for one another? You don't look at my faults, I don't look at yours. How about that? Is that a good deal? You don't try to judge me, and I don't try to judge you. I just try to pray for you. Is that a good deal?
Amen.
If we would pray for one another, every one of those apostles and disciples, followers of Jesus, the entire 120, they knew that none of them were perfect. But they also knew that they could make it right with God.
Amen.
Prayer gives you this amazing opportunity to get it right with God. So they prayed, and we pray. Lastly, replace the Judas thoughts. You're going to have thoughts of weakness always going through your mind, always going through your life. Things that tell you you can't do this and you can't do that because of something that you did earlier. But it's a brand new day. God has called you into grace and mercy and love, and he wants you to move on with your life. And on this first Sunday in February, 2024. Don't you think it's enough time that you've spent on your past?
Yes.
That you now need to think about where God wants you today? You're in a good position. You're in an upper room. As a matter of fact, they were in an upper room. I love that thought, Miss Matt. I love that thought. They were in an upper room.
Yeah.
Upper room means you're above stuff.
Yeah.
Means you're out of it. And what now we need to do is to pray so that we can stay above those situations. Never let anybody talk you down, bring you down, or hold you down, because you are God's child. He loves you. And guess what? He's so good so far. He loved you enough to bring you this far. Heard my neighbor tell a joke the other day. I'm going to my seat. Heard my neighbor tell a joke the other day. He said, now, this person was always an optimist. He always believed that the future was bright. Well, he was working on a building one day and happened to slip off the building. People watched him, but he heard him say as he was on his way down, "So far, so good." Y'all missed it, okay. Mel, you like that, okay. Even when we have trials. Yeah, I like that too. Gary, I like that pretty good. Even when we have trials, it doesn't mean that God's finished with us. It simply means he's going to bring us to a new level of grace. You got to trust him. While they waited, they prayed. Got Judas out of the way. I want you to make an agreement with me that you're not going to have your failure thoughts to keep going through your mind. You are dearly loved by God. Get the failure out. Put your future in place. And let's move on. Amen.
Amen?
Clap your hands if you love Jesus. Amen. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace. We thank you for blessing us today as we have considered Judas. And in considering Judas, we've considered ourselves. Yes, he got what he wanted, but he lost what he had. But today, we're saying, Father, your will be done. Your kingdom move in our life and help us to be all that we can be for the glory of God. We want to replace that old nature, the Judas thoughts, and we want to ask that you would lead us in the right path so that we can do your will. Lord, we love you so much. We love you so much today that you would save a wretch like us and make us your children. Thank you, and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I'm going to ask that we all stand as we prepare for the altar call. And those of you that are online, you cannot join us in here, but you can say, "Preacher, what you said spoke to my heart. I want to change. I want God to bless me. I don't want my own life to be led down the wrong path. So I'm asking you to guide us." If that's what you're praying right now, you can't come in here, but you can write to us, crossroadbc.com. Go to our website, correspond with us. If not here, go to some other church where you can correspond with somebody in your area and tell them that you believe, that you trusted God. For those of you that are in here, perhaps this message has said something and you say to yourself, "You know what, preacher? I'm committing to that." If that's you, then just simply say, "Lord, where you lead me, I'll follow." For those that are in need of coming to the altar, we open up the altar for you. Maybe you're not a member of a church, but like to join us here at Crossroad, we invite you to come. The doors of a church are open. Jesus said, "Whosoever will, let him come." Thank him today. Oh.